you just about got the meaning of it then, see? Some of you are a little slower than others. It takes you a while for that thing to kind of sink in. Hallelujah. You'll never suffer loss. Amen? Do you like to lose? Now, I'm a very mild-mannered individual myself. Losing doesn't bother me. It's just the fun of the game that you're enjoyed in. Now, if you're man or male at all and say that, I believe you're a liar. Nobody enjoys losing. I mean, the bottom lip comes out. If we hadn't have done this, and this guy hadn't have done that, and we'd have done this. Nobody enjoys losing that ever played in these sports. And that song thrills my heart to know that no matter what comes, I'm on the winning side. I may lose a basketball or a softball game, but what are they in light of eternity? Amen. I'm glad to know when the final game is played, hallelujah, I'm on the winning side, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and open to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to try to preach this morning on a subject that I have never preached a complete message on. Mentioning it, or maybe a point in another message along the way. The last few weeks, the Lord has been dealing with my heart and convicting my heart about a subject that I want to preach on this morning. This morning you come to a subject where you're told to declare the whole counsel of God. And I preach this message not because I have mastery of the subject, but because God has told me to preach this morning. And this morning I want to preach on what I call patience. Patience. Hebrews chapter 10. How many glad you're saved? Say amen. Amen. Glad you're going to heaven. Say amen. Amen. I just want to make sure your amen or doesn't break along the way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Recall to remembrance the former days, which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask his blessing on the message today. Now, Father, as we come to this time and this hour of the preaching of thy word, we pray that thy Holy Spirit, that we felt and sensed and evidenced in this building, once again bear witness to the word of God. We might not just be people who enjoy thy presence in the singing, but we might enjoy thy presence through the preached word of God. Lord, I pray today that as I come that you'd help me. Lord, you know I have many things that I want to say and many thoughts that have passed through my mind. Lord, in this hour I pray for clarity of thought. I pray for simplicity of speech, that what I say would be plain and understandable to everyone that's here. God, more than that, I pray for the presence and power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to say what you want me to say. Help me to preach what you want me to preach, Lord. Lord, I pray that today you'd speak to the heart of every person that's here, and my heart included, and that, God, you'd bring home the truths that need to be applied. We might not just let them fall upon deaf ears, but we might take them into our hearts and souls and put them into practice in our life. God, minister to our needs as your children. Lord, if there be one here today that's lost and never been saved, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Bless the message and bless the word of God today. May Jesus be lifted up and glorified and honored by all that's said and done here today. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul writes, he says that, you, for a while, were made a gazing stock, by your reproaches and affliction, calling to remembrance the days of those that were saved. Because of their love for God, they had suffered much affliction. They had suffered also being made a gazing stock by others that were there, looking upon them and seeing them. But Paul said that ye have had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. For you know that in heaven you have a better and an enduring substance. I'm glad to know that in heaven we have some things that will endure. I'm glad to know that in heaven we have a better substance than what we have here. But Paul said it was needful for you to go through those things. And he says in verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Just because you suffered, just because you've been afflicted, don't cast away your confidence and think that God has forsaken you or God has let you down, because God has not. The Bible said, but your confidence has a great recompense of reward. And I call your attention to the beginning of verse 36. For ye have need of patience. Now, this morning I want to preach on a subject that I need as much as anybody in this building can need, and that is patience. Somebody said one time that patience is the ability to count down before you blast off. I don't know how true it is, but I know most of us have the ability to blast off rather than to count down. Most of us have the ability to open our mouth and insert both feet before we have opportunity to count down and to wait on the Lord. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to talk about this subject of patience. The first thing I want to say is what is mentioned in our text, the need of patience. I don't think that there's anybody in this building who is honest and observant couldn't look in your own life and see the need of patience in your own life. I could not honestly look at my life. I could not honestly observe myself 24 hours a day. And I, observing myself, could look and say that I have need of patience in my life. I want you this morning to look at yourself. I don't mean your pretty self. I don't mean your best behavior. I don't mean your dressed up Sunday self where people look at you. I don't mean your act that you put on when other people are around. You, nasty, ungodly, you, just look at your old self, look at your life, and honestly examine your life and see the need of patience in our life. You know, when I look at my life, I see countless messes that I got into just because I didn't have patience to wait. I see countless problems that I created because I did not have patience to wait upon God. I see innumerable mistakes that have come in my life because I did not have patience to wait and to do the thing that was right. I see heartaches that have came my way just because of my own impatience. I see griefs that have been brought upon me and my family and others around me. Why? Why? Because I have need of patience in my life. And as sure as Paul wrote to these Hebrew Christians, he speaks to you and I, brothers and sisters, we have need of patience in our life today. Most of us are impatient. Most of us, one of the hardest verses in the Bible to obey is Hebrews 12:1, where it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, listen, the life that you're living, the race that you're running, cannot be lived in a moment of time. It must be run with patience in your life and in my life. Too many times in our life we've blown up. Too many times we've shut off our mouth when we could have kept it shut. Too many times we've striked out at someone we love only to wish to God we had never uttered those words. Too many times we performed a snap judgment that would to God we could call it back and reverse it, but we can't. Why, beloved? Why? Because you and I have a need of patience in our life. Have a need of patience in our life day by day as we live in our everyday life. You need patience on your job. You need patience with your housework. You need patience in situations at home. Every day, there's little things that come up day by day that show the need of patience in our life. Do you know something? Our depraved nature is brought to light by the fact that we do not have patience in just everyday little nothing things. A flat tire. Yes. Patience we show. Patience when the tire is flat and we get out and say, glory to God, bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah for the cross, it standeth fast, and I've got patience to thank you for this flat tire. Yes, a flat tire. Or maybe it's a broken washing machine. Or maybe it is a sewing machine that is uncooperative. A curling iron or a hair dryer that does not blow the exact temperature of heat that you want. Maybe it's a nail that won't go in the place where you want it to go. Maybe it's a board that won't stay in the place that you want it to stay in. But most of the time when we go through life, in the job, in our work, in our situations, we show a lack of patience in dealing with the littlest, commonest things in this life. Confession is good for the soul. Little things wear me out. I hate to hang curtain rods. They are of the devil. They proceeded from the bottomless pit. There's no way that they have been sanctified by God himself. I have all kinds of ideas about house life that is kind of unusual. Curtain rods are of the devil. There is no doubt about it. I can prove it beyond any shadow of doubt. All you need is two nails and a big beach towel. Nails on each side of the window. Put them down at night and raise them in the day. Amen. When they get dirty, jerk them off the nails, throw on the washing machine, wash them, hang them out, dry them, and hang them back. Glory to God, what a simplified version. Amen. There is no way that my finger can hold a nail that big and try to drive it with a hammer without busting my thumb. There's no way. Why is it when you want to hang a curtain rod, the only nails they give you are about a quarter of an inch long? What man that has any finger at all can hold a nail a quarter of an inch and pull back and hit it with his hammer? You know what you're going to hit, your thumb. What do we do? Oh, man. I mean, we have a spell. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a sanctified spell that we have. Plumbing of any form. I'll tell you one thing. It will leak. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter how many rules you follow and instructions you follow carefully. Nothing unnerves me more to pick up a box and it says you only need two tools to do it. Before you're done, you'll have to use every tool in your toolbox. You'll have to search the neighborhood and borrow everything that everybody's got to get that thing up. A commode, a simple little washer to be put in. You pull the washer out and you crack the commode itself. When the commode is fixed and put back, you turn the nut and tighten it thusly, and you tighten it too much, and it breaks. Oh, I'm telling you, patience. Patience. A few years ago, I got so mad at some tomato plants that it was just unreal. I had, by the grace of God, grown some beautiful tomato plants, and I was trying to stake them so that they could stay up and be up there and grow. Big old tomatoes to grow, and we can lay them beside some bacon, lettuce, have a little bit of something to eat, you know what I mean? And I got out there, and I staked those tomato plants. This old ground is sandy. The stake would fall over. Once I would get the stake in the ground, then I would try to tie up this thing, and a limb or one of those branches off that tomato plant would break. And every time one breaks, there's a big luscious tomato on it. And it grieves your soul to know that tomato will never come to full age. And you get two of those done, and here comes your boys behind you. Whoopee, what are these for, Dad? Yeah. I'll tell you, I had to remove myself from the garden. I had to back off from the situation. Why? Because there's a need of patience in our life. Yet we back off from that. How silly. How weak. How frail. How little. How much Paul knew what he was writing.
when he said you have need of patience. The little mundane things of life, the little unimportant things rile us and upset us. The things that will weigh absolutely nothing in eternity irritate us the most. Somebody said that patience is endurance without murmuring or complaining. We need patience in our church life and dealing with other people. Some of you need more patience than what you got. You don't show any patience toward brothers and sisters in the Lord whatsoever. You get envious of them. You get jealous of them. You get backbiting. You get murmuring. You get judgmental. You get condemning. You get running them down. You know what you need? Patience. Patience. You say, how do you develop patience in dealing with other Christian people? Simple. Look at your life and see how hard you are to get along with it. Look at your own life and see how impatient and how rotten you are. And if they can love you, then surely you ought to be able to love them. We need patience in our church life, and I'm going to live that. We need patience in our family life day by day. Patience in dealing with your husband. Patience in dealing with your wife. Patience in dealing with your children. Now, here's where I fall off right here, man. I got a little patience in some areas. That's one. Number one, I don't like no woman telling me nothing to do. Never have. Nothing against you, Mom. I mean, I didn't hold no grief again. I wasn't after you all those years now. I'm not saying that. But I don't like no woman trying to tell me what to do. I don't know women bossing me. I'll just be honest with you. I just lose all patience immediately. My first word is shut up. The next word is shut up. My third word is shut up. I have none. That's wrong. I ought to be a lot more loving than what I am. My boys, I have very little patience with them like I should have. I tell them something once or twice, and then I greet them. Amen. Back of my hand or whatever is there. Talking to them in a way that they can understand. Relating to the need of the hour. That's what I call it. Listen, God deals with us with the word. If we don't listen to the word, he chastens us. But we need patience. Patience. A few years ago, my boy taught me a great lesson that I have never fully learned. But as my oldest boy, he wanted to pop. One preacher, he said, I'm afraid of preachers that carry knives. Well, then just don't stand too close to me, all right? And I've always carried a pocket knife. I like it. They're handy. Clean your fingernails, stuff like that. You never know. And every preacher ought to have clean fingernails. Amen? I think so. But my boy came to me and he said, Daddy, I want to carry a pocket knife. I said, son, you don't think you're old enough. Oh, he said, yes, I will. So I got him a knife and I dulled it as much as I possibly could. I got it as dull as I could. Just a little. I gave it to him and I said, now, son, you see this knife? Get it. I see it. I said, that is a pocket knife. Do you understand? Oh, yeah, pocket knife, Dad. Pocket knife, Dad. Yeah, I understand. I said, no. No, no. I said, pocket knife. Pocket knife. You understand? Yeah. I said, you keep it in your... Somebody on the street took it and looked at it and said, well, that thing's so dull, wouldn't cut nothing. Sharpened it like a razor blade. And then one day he comes home and his finger is bleeding. I have your finger, son. I got a cut with a knife, Dad. I said, well, I see something that happened there. I said, what was it? He said, well, it was that knife you gave me. It cut my finger. I said, how did it cut your finger? I don't know. He said, I just don't really know. He said, I had it in my pocket, and the first thing you know, it was out to cut my finger. I'm telling you, miracles are performed every day with children, amen? Things are destroyed when nobody's in the room. Lamps are knocked over when nobody is there. Just utterly removed. And I said, well, son, I said, give me your knife. He said, why? I said, well, I don't think you're old enough. You know, when you get old enough, mature enough, you can keep this thing in your pocket without cutting your finger. All right, he kind of whimpered, went on to bed. The next morning, he got up. He said, Daddy, am I old enough now? One day, I got done talking to him, went into my devotions and read my Bible. I got on my knees and got
Yes, he said, now, son, be patient. And you know, I looked at him and I looked at my son and how patience has to be learned by children. Neither their children of God have a need of patience that's greater probably than you'll ever. The need of patience, and then the Bible gives us the examples of patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And then he says later on in the book of James, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. He said, if you want to see some examples of patience, take my prophets who have went on before and look at them. When we look at those prophets and men of God, we see great examples of men of patience. We see Abraham, who was promised the seed, though it was beyond the time when a normal man could produce a seed. But we see Abraham believing God, and it accounted to him for righteousness. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, after he had endured, patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We see Joseph having a dream that his brothers would bow down before him, that he would sit on a throne. But in a matter of the next few days, he's sold as a slave, down in a jail, in a dungeon, and held captive. What does he do? He patiently waits on God. And in a matter of a few months, he's sitting on the throne in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Moses, who wandered in the wilderness, came to a place in his life where Pharaoh's army was behind him and the Red Sea in front. God, what am I going to do? Stand still. Don't do anything. Just stay put. Oh, isn't that hard for some of you? Are you just chomping at the bit? You ready to go? You got all the Bible that anybody could ever get, all the experience and the learning, and you're ready to go out there and take on the world. You're ready. God says, you say, Lord, here I am. I've studied, soon to be a graduate of the infamous Pensacola Bible Institute, soon to be one that graduates. What do you want me to do? Nothing. Just sit still. You'll see the salvation. Is it not hard for you and I to do that? The Bible speaks of David, a man who had to run for his life, a man who lived in caves as a runaway and a fugitive. He waited on God, and God exalted him greatly. Patience, my brethren. Patience, my sisters. Those men in the Bible who accomplished something were men who learned to wait upon God, men who learned to look to God, men who learned to trust in God. Men who learn not to take it in their own hands and try to wreck it. And he said, consider the prophets as examples of patience. Give God time. Even when the knife flashes in the air, the ram will be seen to be caught in the thicket. Give God time. Even when Pharaoh's host is on our heels, he'll make a path through the waters. Give God time. When the bed of the brook is run dry, his voice will still speak, and his hand will still supply. Give God time. The example of examples, humanly speaking, you have heard of the patience of Job. You heard of it? I've heard of it. It cuts me to the soul every time I hear of it. It cuts my heart with conviction each time I open those first two chapters of the book of Job and read it. And I think what he says in James, you have heard the patience of Job. No Bible, no church, no friends, no families, no possessions. And the Bible said in all this, neither did Job sin nor charge God foolishly. What an example of patience in suffering, his body afflicted with boils. What an example of patience in sorrow, lost all of his children and his wife. What an example of patience in setbacks, every material possession he had removed. What a patience he had in success. God blessed him in the latter end.
Ye have heard of the patience of Job. See the prophet. See Job. What are they? Look at them, children of God. Look at them, believers in God. They are examples of patience for you and I. See how far we fail. Patience means awaiting God's time without doubting God's love. Job, a man who lost it all, yet stayed true to God, waited for him.
Jonathan Goforth was a great missionary to China, a man who God used in a tremendous way. But as a lot of those early missionaries, all examples of patience. When Goforth went to China, he knew that the Lord had put a city called, I think it was Chang, C-H-A-N-G-E. And he knew God wanted him to start the work there. He went there, and the first time he went there, he went back and prayed, and he could get peace about no other place. And just every few months, he'd take him and a group of believers and go back and get run out of the city every time. And finally, listen, you hear me? Six years later, the door opened to that city where God wanted him to go. He told his comrades, I knew God would do it. All we had to do was but to wait on the one that called us, and he would perform what he said. As they went on that way to the city, he said, God, I have my mind on a certain place to establish a church. Give me that property or some other that's suitable. And he hadn't been in the city more than a few days when 35 different lost people offered to give him their property that he could use it to build a church. 35 people who didn't know him from anybody. And what God did, God gave him the very piece of land. God gave him the city that he wanted. He preached the gospel and established a church and won hundreds of souls to Jesus. Why? Because he knew what it was to wait on God. The examples of patience are abundant in the book and history. Quickly notice the source of patience. This is where it hurts. This is where it ain't no fun to it right here. Dr. Ruckman told me a long time ago something that I learned. Too bad I didn't learn everything he tried to tell me. But he said, son, there's some things you don't want to pray for. He said, number one, don't pray that God will humble you. He said, humble yourself before God has to do it. He said, God has a way of humbling you that you'll never forget. And he said, there's something else you don't want to pray for. And that is patience. Why? Romans said, not only so, but we also glory in tribulations. I got a question mark after that in my Bible. What a statement. Glory in tribulations? No wonder they thought he was mad. Amen. I mean, anybody make a statement like that, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And hear that? Listen to what I'm saying. The source of patience is tribulation. Can't you see that? When God puts something across your path that is a tribulation or a trial, he's not doing it because he's mean. He's doing it to try to teach you the greatest lesson you'll ever learn, and that's the lessons of patience in your life. When God permits a trial to come our way, he's not doing it just because he wants to do it. He's trying to teach us patience. Open your eyes, brothers and sisters, and realize that what you're going through right now is not because God doesn't love you and doesn't care for you, but it's because he's trying to form character in your life. He's trying to mold you as a Christian. He's trying to make a man or a woman out of you. And those tribulations come so that you and I can have patience in this life. Gain without pain. In most areas of life, it's that way in the Christian life as well. He said, knowing that tribulation
said, but let patience have her perfect work. She may be perfect. Our trials that come our way, God's trying to teach us patience. When we fall on our knees and say, why? It may not be because of sin in your life or anybody else. God made you ever do it. Glory in tribulation. Not that he's glad the tribulation come, but he knows that tribulation will work patience. And he says, punish his little daughter. She got all upset. Later on, she came, what's that for, honey? Said, Daddy, even though I didn't like the whipping you gave me. He said, I couldn't imagine what they were doing. I stopped the shepherd there and I said, what are you doing? Are you driving these sheep to the slaughterhouse? Ride in the lower plains, we've got to move them to some high. And said, if we didn't drive them there, they'd stay here and starve and die. He said, oh no, we're not killing them. God brings tribulations to us. We say, God, you're killing me. When troubles come, you say, God, you're killing me. God, you're going to kill me. No, he's not killing us. He's just driving us to some higher ground. We're so dumb we'd stay in the same place we're at and starve. But God, through tribulation and troubles and trials, worketh in our life, and a loving Savior